news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The New York Times is reporting that the Justice Department, under Donald Trump, secretly seized phone records of reporters working for The Washington Post, CNN, and The New York Times. A Justice Department spokesman under Biden told reporters that members of the news media have now been notified in every instance of leak investigations from the 2019-2020 period in which their records were sought. New York Times executive editor Dean Baquet released a statement saying, "We expect the Department of Justice to explain why this action was taken and what steps are being taken to make certain it does not happen again in the future." Now, I try not to spend too much time on the former guy, but there's reason now not to ignore him. That's because chatter online among Trump and QAnon followers on platforms like Telegram is creating concern on Capitol Hill about the possibility of further violence. The reporting on this new round of outrage began on Tuesday with Maggie Haberman at the New York Times. Then it was followed by other outlets confirming the reports that say large groups of conspiracy theorists are again entertaining false beliefs that Trump will somehow be reinstated as president in August. Huh? Rhetoric from the Trump camp has reinforced those beliefs. In fact, over the weekend, Michael Flynn, Trump's first national security advisor, actually endorsed the idea of a Myanmar-style military coup in the United States. One D.C. Metropolitan Police officer who was attacked during the January 6th insurrection said comments like Flynn's could lead directly to more violence. Trump still does have a huge following, but signs are pointing to a possible decline in his pull and influence. It was less than a month ago that Trump launched a new website, basically a blog, though his team had billed it as the launch of a major new social platform. Well, that website is now gone permanently. One of Trump's advisors told the Washington Post that the former guy was upset that people were mocking his blog instead of using it. And yeah, very few actually visited. Oh, well. So, thankfully, we voted Donald Trump out of office, and now it appears that his BFF, Bibi, is out too. Yeah, Benjamin Netanyahu has been Israel's prime minister for 12 consecutive years, 15 years total, and in that time, he's unfortunately become a major figure in American politics, and yes, was a close ally of Trump's. Bibi is also currently on trial for fraud, bribery, and breach of trust while in office. Nice. Two politicians, Yair Lapid and Naftali Bennett, built a coalition of 8 very different parties, all working together. Though they agree on very little, they are joined in the goal of ousting Netanyahu from office. So for the first time, the coalition that was formed that will replace him includes a party that represents Palestinian citizens of Israel. According to the deal, hardliner Naftali Bennett will serve as prime minister for 2 years and then turn the office over to center-left leader Yair Lapid, who basically negotiated the deal. The deal still has to be accepted by the Israeli parliament, who's expected to do so, but that won't happen for about another week, giving Netanyahu time to try to derail the deal, which he's trying to do. Ugh. Which is apparently what he's trying to do. Fingers crossed. So many of us in America think this is great news. We don't know what this new government will be, but at least it won't be Netanyahu. But check this out. As soon as the coalition announced it was approaching agreement, Republican senators Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Ted Cruz of Texas, and Bill Hagerty of Tennessee flew to Israel to offer support to Netanyahu and to call President Biden weak. Wow. Cruz released a video that he claimed was of a home destroyed by a Hamas rocket that killed, quote, an elderly woman's caretaker. Now, just remember who we're talking about here. Ted Cruz, who left Texas to go vacation in Cancun in the midst of a deadly freak freeze in Texas while most of the state lost power as well. So it seems kind of likely that his concern for the 12 Israelis killed was more about politics than doing the right thing. Come on, it's Ted Cruz. The Tulsa City Council on Wednesday unanimously passed a resolution acknowledging and apologizing for the 1921 Tulsa race massacre, where as many as 300 black residents were killed by a white mob who attacked the affluent neighborhood known as Black Wall Street. The resolution didn't include reparations, though it did acknowledge the 1921 Tulsa Race Riot Commission report of 2001, which called for them. Hey, at least we're acknowledging it happened. It's a step in the right direction. Now on to the fight against COVID. President Biden announcing Wednesday that his administration was stepping up its COVID-19 vaccination outreach effort to counter failing inoculation numbers. It's all in a push to reach his goal of having 70% of eligible Americans either fully or partially vaccinated by July 4th. Biden called June a national month of action. He said some pharmacies would stay open all night on Friday so more people could get shots. Child care centers are waiving fees to make it easier for parents to get vaccinated. The administration has also enlisted barbershops and haircutting salons in black communities to hold vaccine clinics. These locations are important community centers that were key to organizing during the civil rights movement. And Anheuser-Busch, yeah, the beer company, has announced it will buy a beer for the first 200,000 applicants over the age of 21 if the United States meets Joe Biden's 4th of July goal. As for help delivered to Americans through the pandemic, a new Census Bureau analysis suggests that the policy of trying to help people in crisis has been a success. And it's the poorest households and those with children who benefited the most, both financially and in terms of reduced anxiety and depression. And it's tangible. Food insufficiency fell by more than 40%. Financial instability fell by 45%. And adverse mental health symptoms reportedly fell by 20%. The study suggests that the speed, breadth, and flexibility of the program, especially the use of cash transfers, was key to easing material hardship. Of course, opponents of the program argue that the hardship would have improved anyway since tax credits arrived in April. Ugh, please. And finally, a big round of applause for Paxton Smith. She's a Texas high school senior valedictorian delivering her speech at her graduation ceremony, who decided to throw out the school-approved script and deliver her own takedown of the new abortion ban just signed into law by the Texas governor.
I have dreams and hopes and ambitions. Every girl graduating today does. And we have spent our entire lives working towards our future. And without our input and without our consent, our control over that future has been stripped away from us. I am terrified that if my contraceptives fail, I am terrified that if I am raped, then my hopes and aspirations and dreams and efforts for my future will no longer matter. I hope that you can feel how gut-wrenching that is. I hope you can feel how dehumanizing it is to have the autonomy over your own body taken away from you.
Paxton Smith. I think we all need to remember her name. We're going to be hearing from her again. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.